Take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. It's on page 631 if you're using the Pew Bible. Psalm 91, page 631. Just a short word to you college students. We're glad you're here. Many of you returning, some of you new, and we're glad you're worshiping with us. We hope you can come back tonight for our evening service and worship with us again tonight. And then after that, we'll have the ice cream social. And the families are encouraged to bring plenty of toppings. So you college students, don't worry about bringing a topping, of course. Just come and enjoy some ice cream and some fellowship. Next week, we're going to be starting Swarm up again. And so that's going to be at our house next week. But tonight, we wanted to give a little bit of opportunity for the whole congregation to interact with you and build some of those friendships. You've learned a lot of new names this week, and you're going to learn some more tonight. But eventually, all that will settle in, and those names will start to stick. As you settle in your life here at Geneva, it's really important for you to find a good church to be a part of. And if that's here at College Hill, there are going to be opportunities mentioned in the next few weeks and months of ways that you can be connected here. So you'll just keep an ear open for those things. If you don't settle here at College Hill, there are plenty of good churches around here. And we encourage you to pick one and settle in and really make it your own, make it your church home away from home, and really settle into a church, a local church. For us here at College Hill, church school classes start next week. So if you want to be a part of that, we really encourage you to be a part of it. That starts at 9:30. You got to wake up a little earlier on Sunday morning. Maybe that's tough, but 9:30 should be doable. Okay, so back to the task at hand. We're about halfway through the summer. We started a series on the names of God. We're taking a look at a few of the names and titles of God. Someone who is fascinated by the names and titles of God did a study and found documented over 650 names of God in the scriptures. 650, so clearly we're not trying to exhaust this topic, but we're picking some names as we go along, and that'll carry us through this summer. The plan is to have two more weeks on the names of God, and then after that, I'm going to start a series taking us through the book of 1 Corinthians. Today, we're taking a look at the name of God, Ma'on, which means dwelling place. God is our dwelling place. I'm going to read all of Psalm 91, listen to God's holy word, and may you find God as your dwelling place. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the precious word of God. May we have faith to abide in these words and to find God as our dwelling place. The people of Brunei, a small country in the Far East, they were granted their independence from the British Empire in 1984, just 40 years ago. In commemoration of their independence, the newly established sultan of the country built a new royal residence, which at that time was, and still is today, the largest single-family residence in the world. It covers a staggering 2.2 million square feet. That's 2.5 times bigger than Buckingham Palace, 40 times larger than the White House, and 1,000 times larger than my house. It has nearly 1,800 different rooms, 257 bathrooms, 44 stairwells, 18 elevators, and 5 swimming pools. It has enough garage space for the Sultan's 7,000 cars, which is the largest private car collection in the world. It's surrounded, in the surrounding estate, there's a zoo with exotic animals, air-conditioned stables for the Sultan's 200 polo horses. Along with all this luxury, of course, you have to have state-of-the-art security, so there's a small army that uses the latest technology and the greatest weapons to keep the palace grounds safe. Now, that's a home. Imagine growing up in this house. Every day, you could just explore your own house, discover new rooms and new treasures, and enjoy new amenities, and you can see the city below from lots of different angles from that house. And some say it's the greatest home in the world. Well, as great as that home may be, our home puts that palace to utter shame. Because here in Psalm 91, we are told that God is our dwelling place. And that very simply means that God is our home. Our home is God himself, and what's described for us here in this song is a home with the greatest security and comfort and peace and the greatest sense of belonging that exists in this world. It's a reminder that God is your truest home. You college students, you've left home, some of you again after the summer, some of you for the first time, and it can be very unnerving, cause quite a bit of anxiety and unrest. You have to give up the comforts of home to venture out into the world where nothing is comfortable, nothing's familiar. You don't quite know where you fit in. You miss the comforts and familiarity of home. You like home because you know where you fit in. You know where everything is. You know you belong. And we can feel homesick. Well, it's especially during these times of uncertainty and unrest where you come to find that God is your truest home and your dwelling place. And he actually is the best home you could ever wish for. My own, God is your dwelling place. Which means that wherever you are, whatever you're going through, no matter how you feel, remember that you are with God. And if you are with God, then you are at home. May you find God as your dwelling place. As we consider what it means that God is our dwelling place, I want to think about what makes home feel like home. Why do we miss home when we're away? Why do we get homesick? Now, I recognize that not everyone misses home to the same degree. For some of us, home was not necessarily a place of rest, but rather a place of unrest. But even then, as you someday seek to establish your own home, what is it that you want in order to make it feel like home? What are the features of home that make it such a place of rest? So there are 4 features of home that I want to point out here in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 shows us that all these best features of home are really ultimately found in God. 4 features of home, and they are actually in reverse alphabetical order. So instead of A, B, C, D, it's going to be D, C, B, A. So D, C, B, A. First thing, D, God is our defense. Defense. Home is a place where you feel safe and protected. And there are various levels of defense at home. There are locked doors. They give us a sense of security. You may have a security system. You might have a dog or a gun that makes you feel safe. You have your phone where you can call 911 if anything happens. Hopefully the police will come quickly and when you call. As a little kid, the feature that really makes your home safe or makes it feel safe is when your parents are there. And as long as they're there, then you feel safe. Safety and defense is a main feature of Psalm 91. Verse 3, it says, he delivers you from those who are trying to trap you. He saves you from deadly disease. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by the day or the germs that invade at night. It's a psalm that describes God as our defense, and that's part of what makes him home. Now, that sounds great, but as I read through these things, you might recognize that what is described in this psalm is hard to come to grips with when you compare it to reality. Like, it just doesn't seem to match, because truth is, we've all gotten sick, we've all gotten hurt, we've all felt the destruction of evil in our lives. But he says that he keeps us from all these things, but yet we deal with these things all the time. So how is it that we're to understand God's promises of this psalm and many other places of Scripture when we're going through all these things? Well, the way we understand the safety of God is that we know that he will never allow anything that will ultimately lead to our harm. But rather, he will only give us those things that will ultimately lead to our greatest good somehow. We're told in Romans 8, 28 and 29, it says, and we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him. And then a few phrases later it says, those who have been predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. What this verse tells us is that God is using everything in your life to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ, which actually is your greatest good. When God created mankind, he created us with the beauty of his image. We were created to be these mirrors reflecting God's glory here on earth. But because of sin, the image of God that we were created to be got smashed. It's as if the mirror dropped on the ground, smashed to a million pieces, and although we retain the image of God, it's now broken and mangled. But part of the promise of the gospel is that for everyone who believes in Jesus, God not only saves you from your sin, but he's putting you back together piece by piece. You are predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, and that's our greatest good. The challenge here is that it's a very painful process. It's a painful process to be broken of our sinful nature and to be restored in the image of God. I knew a guy who broke his nose. After he broke his nose, he waited a few weeks before he went to the doctor. Since it wasn't getting better, he did go to the doctor, and to his dismay, his nose had been broken so badly, it had healed in the wrong way, and the only way to set it right is to re-break his nose. And it was a painful process, but the doctor had to do it in order so it would be healed right. Well, you and I, we're so stuck in our sinful ways, so hardened in our habits, that we often need the gracious breaking of God in order to put the image of God back together. What you need to understand here is that the pain and troubles that you face, they are not the result of God's neglect, not a result of God's failure to keep his promise, but rather, God is doing ultimately everything good for you, bringing them into your life to conform you into his image. And of course, there are times when we don't make sense of the providence of God in our lives, but we can trust that since God is your defense, you can trust that he will do everything to bring about your greatest good, to break down that sinful nature, and to piece you together into the image of God. If God is your dwelling place, then you are safer than any other place in the world. That royal residence in Brunei was protected by a small army, state-of-the-art security system, has an arsenal that might rival small armies. It has gates and alarms. Some would say that would be the most protected place in the world. That's nothing compared to how safe you are right now under God's defense. It says that he's commanded an army of angels to keep you, to watch over you so that you don't strike your foot against a stone. No evil will befall you. Nothing will ultimately lead you to your demise. You know, there's so much emotional anxiety connected to feeling unsafe and afraid and what might happen. But when God is your home, you can release all those fears and trust that if He is your dwelling place, then you are truly safe. For God is your defense. So defense is the first feature of home. It's a safe place. The second feature of home is comfort. Home is comfortable. It's comfortable in the sense that it feels right. It gives you peace. When you go home for the first time after being away for a while, it just feels comfortable. You know, sitting in that chair in the dining room, you didn't know that that would feel so comfortable. Or sleeping in your bed with all its quirks, you get the best night's sleep you had for a long time. Or the couch that you've spent many hours on is like an old friend like you have that you haven't seen for years. And all these little things about home that you at one point took for granted, they all really contribute to the comfort of home, the familiarity, the peace of home. And with these comforts surrounding you, you can finally, once again, relax. Take a deep breath, because home is comfortable. Life, on the other hand, can be chaotic and foreign and uncomfortable, but when God is your dwelling place, you can be comfortable in the midst of the most uncomfortable times. And we're given a subtle sense of this kind of comfort in Psalm 91. In verse 4, it says, He will cover you with His pinions, those are feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. Of course, the imagery primarily here is of protection, but it also is this imagery of comfort. A hen covering her chicks, they find comfort under her wings. Home is comfortable. Perhaps you feel a little bit uncomfortable right now, maybe crammed too close to the person next to you in the pew. Maybe a little anxious about what's going to happen after church because there's just too many people. You can feel claustrophobic. Perhaps you feel uncomfortable at work because you're still trying to figure it out and how things work there. Perhaps uncomfortable in your dorm or in your classes just because it's all so new. But when God is your dwelling place, it means that God is with you always. And because He's with you, you can be comfortable in the midst of the uncomfortable. He is the constant in your life when nothing else is constant. When God is your dwelling place, you find comfort in His promises. Psalm 119:50, it says, This is my comfort in affliction, that Your promises give me life. It's my comfort. His promises become like that old bed that gives you the best night's sleep ever. When God is your dwelling place, His words settle into your soul like a good home-cooked meal. Job 23:12, I treasured Your words more than my daily bread. You know, when your mom makes you your favorite meal, everything feels right. Well, with God as your dwelling place, it's His word that feels like a home-cooked meal. Feeding on it daily, meditating on it, and everything feels right. When life is uncomfortable, find your comfort in God, for He is your home. The third feature of God being your dwelling place is that He gives you a place to belong. Be a place to belong. Home could be defined by this simple phrase. Home is the place where you feel like you belong, where you most belong in this world. You have your room, you have your toothbrush there, your clothes are there. It's just where you belong. Well, when you find God as your home, you find that He is where you truly belong. It's only with God, actually, that you truly belong. The truth is, when we were born into this world, we did not belong. We were orphans, outcasts, illegitimate children, held captive to the power of Satan, controlled by our own passions. We are enslaved to our own fears, without hope, without God. But God, through Jesus Christ, gave us a place to finally belong. He set us free from Satan. He saved us from our sins. He washed us clean through the blood of Jesus, and he gave us a home with him. He gave you his name, just like we give our kids our last name, showing that they belong to our family. He gave you his name to show that you belong to him and his family. That you, he gave you citizenship to show that you belong in his kingdom. He gave you forgiveness to show that you belong with a holy God. Finally, you belong. As you grow older, as you grow up, and you explore the world, we're always on this search for belonging. And most of the time, it's something we're always striving for and never quite reaching. And we always feel like we have to earn our spot in that place where we belong. There's always a performance related to belonging. You have to have good grades to show that you really belong in college or in school. Or you have to score points in order to show that you really belong on the team. Or you have to contribute to your friend group in order to really show that you belong among your friends. It's like this idea built into us. We have to do our part to really truly belong. And that's a hard way to live. But with God, it doesn't work that way. You don't belong to God because you did your part. But you belong to God precisely because he did your part for you. We're told in Titus 3:5, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, not because we did our part, but because of his mercy. He saved us, and he gave us a place to belong. In our frantic search for belonging, we can so easily forget that the place where we most fundamentally belong is with God and in the family of God. This is your family, and he is our Father. One of my favorite books as a little kid, maybe still one of my favorite books today, I'm not sure. It's called Are You My Mother? And it's a story of a little bird that hatched while his mother was away looking for food. And when he hatched, he asked, oh, where's my mother? And he looked up and down and all around, couldn't find her. I'm going to go search for her, he says. And he falls out of his nest, and he starts this journey trying to find his mom. And in his journey, he met a cat and asked, are you my mother? And the cat stared at him, said nothing. So he moved on. He came to a dog and a cow. He asked them, are you my mother? And they said, no. As time passed, he got scared. His search grew more frantic. He saw a plane and a boat, and he called, here I am, mother. But they just kept going. And in a moment of great desperation, at the climax of the story, he cried out, I want my mother. And through a series of events, he was actually dumped right back into his nest. And in that moment, his mother returned with worms to eat. And she said, do you know who I am? And he responded, he said, you are my mother. It's a very simple book that so describes so well for us the journey that so many of us are on. We're looking in every place in this world, trying to find our place to belong. People play sports to belong. They get good grades to belong. They get married to belong. They have kids to belong. We spend our days performing, just hoping that it will make us belong. But the truth is, in this world, you will never truly belong until you come to know that God is your home. Some of us are starting school, a new school this year, whether it's, you know, Geneva or another school. And as you start a new school, you're going to feel like you don't belong. There are going to be many times. And that feeling's going to linger for some time. You're going to feel like you don't belong. You feel like you're out of place, like you don't fit. You don't know, like, who your friends are. It can all be very unsettling. But the wonderful beauty of the gospel is that the place where you truly belong is with God. And you don't need to depend on others to help you feel like you belong. You don't need to depend on your performance to help you feel like you belong. But since God is your dwelling place, you already belong. And since you already belong, you can now spend your time trying to help other people find a place to belong rather than scrambling for your own spot on the team. God is your home in the sense that he is where you belong. So we've got D, C, B, and now A. Abide. Abide in his love. At home, the reason why you feel safe and comfortable and feel like you belong is simply because you're loved. Home is to be a place where you are loved. Well, in a similar way, the reason why God is your defense, why God is your comfort, why God is your belonging is because he loves you so much. And what he calls us to do many times through the pages of Scripture is to learn to simply abide in his love. Psalm 91 is really a picture of God's love. He cares for us, he protects us, he gives a place to belong because he loves us with this eternal, unchanging love. His love endures forever. And what this psalm is ultimately encouraging us to do is exactly what the Lord Jesus urged us to do in John 15:9, when Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide in my love. Trust in my love. Trust that I have your best in mind. Trust that I will protect you. Trust that I will lead you. Trust that I will shepherd you." If you could just catch a glimpse, if you could just understand how much God actually loves you, if you could see how everything that he does is actually just filtered through his loving hands to draw you close to him, to reveal himself to you, if you could see how big and long and wide and deep and high his love is for you, if you could just learn to trust in that love and to live in that love, it would resolve so many of our problems. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, asking God to help us to understand how big his love really is for us so that we could truly learn to abide in his love. God is our home in that he loves us. And we are called to find our comfort and defense abiding in his love. Learn to abide in your home in the love of God. Ma'on, God is your dwelling place, a great name of God. Many people think the palace in Brunei is the greatest home in the world. They got nothing compared to what we have when we know that God is our home. If you walk by faith in him, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, then he's with you always, which means that no matter where you are, no matter how uncomfortable or unsafe your environment feels, remember that you are always at home with God. He is your defense. He is your comfort. He is where you belong, and he is where you abide. God is your home. You've probably seen those shirts. They have the outline of a state, and then inside that state it says home, and it tells people where you're from. You know, I'm from Arizona. That's home. I'd actually probably say now Pennsylvania is more my home. I've lived here more years than I lived in Arizona. So I'd probably have a Pennsylvania state, and inside it would say home. But for a shirt to show where you most fundamentally belong, perhaps you need a shirt with big, bold letters, G-O-D. And then right in the middle of that O in small little letters, you have the word home, period. For God is your dwelling place. I've used this story before. It's a good one, one of my favorites, but gets at this idea. There's a little kid, 4 or 5 years old, out walking with his dad, and his dad wanted to see if his son could figure out his bearings. He could figure out maybe where he's at, if he could find his way home. And he said to his son, Son, do you know where we are? Son looked around. He said, no. He said, what street are we walking on right now? And his son looked around and said, I don't know. And his dad said, well, do you know how to get home from here at least? And again, he paused. He thought, he said, no. And his dad said, well, it sounds to me like you're lost. And a big smile grew across the little boy's face, and he said, I can't be lost. I'm with you. You may feel lost at the moment in this world, alone in the midst of a crowd. And you may be missing home right now. Psalm 91 reminds us that if God is your dwelling place, then you're already home. You may search and search for it in this world, but you'll never find it until you find your home is actually with God. Learn to call him your dwelling place. Find him as your home. Abide in him. Amen.